Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Mobility Radio, featuring industry leaders and innovators in mobile technology.
Good morning. This is Brett Cooper from Blue Fletch Mobile. And on this morning, got three very interesting guests. So Keith Hartford and Brad Culp from WNA and Steven Weber, who's actually from Blue Fletch. So pretty excited. We'll be talking about Atlanta and the mobile workforce and a lot of the work around there the second half of the hour. Keith, I'm going to hand it off to you. WNA, what are you guys working on? What is WNA?
Yeah, WNA, we help our clients get their big programs done, their big, complex, strategic programs done. Program and project leadership are at the core of what we do. We do consulting and we do technology service delivery.
Cool. And by programs, what's the typical, you got any example type projects, cool things you guys are working on?
Yeah, you know, what we bring leadership. So what does leadership mean? Leadership in program and projects, you need solutions, you need integration, you need risk management. That's what our clients are asking us to bring. So we're doing work. We do work inside and outside of telecommunications, but the communication stuff, that's great stuff, and mobility too. We help clients put together their customer experience. We provide the program integration office, the project leadership, and the program management for program for customer experience development. We're helping one of our big enterprise clients transform their IP network. You know, we're working in the core of the telecommunications space to help them get their big, strategic, complex programs done.
Awesome. So you guys bring the talent that has the 15 years of doing it and has a lot of failures in the first 5 years. So they've already been trained up in how to make it successful.
They've been around the block once or twice. Most of our folks have, and they can see around the corners. And that's, you know, that's key to risk management. That's seeing around the corners, understanding what might get in your way, and being able to mitigate that. And that's really the key to focus on getting to a business benefit.
Nice. And so for these programs, are they typically the 6 to 12 month, or is it even longer than that when you guys are helping clients with these?
You know, we used to think of big programs and projects as $10 million projects and, you know, $100 million. Whew, huge. But we've got some programs and projects, some of them that span multiple years, 3, 4, 5, 6 years. They are billion-dollar programs. But typically, they're going to be these big multi-year initiatives. And again, when you're taking you know, a Fortune 100 client and transforming customer experience, when you're helping them evolve their network, those are not short-term, quick turnaround programs. Those are big, complex programs.
Awesome. And Brad, you're working on WNA. Have you worked a while with Keith on some of these initiatives?
Yeah, absolutely. Keith and I have known each other for probably 15 years. We worked together way back at Ernst & Young and then Fujitsu and now at WNA. Actually involved with WNA right from the very beginning and have been on the board for the last 9 years.
Awesome. And Fujitsu originally part of WNA? What was the background there?
Yeah, a little genesis there. WNA. So we used to be We Serve North America. We can't say that anymore. You know, we're kind of like IHG or UPS or even KFC. You know, that used to be tied to chicken, right?
It's not but, just but, Kentucky anymore.
Yeah. Right. Now we're WNA. We're formerly We Serve North America.
Yeah.
We were an affiliate with Fujitsu where we spent some time. And now we're completely independent and a smaller firm. We're not part of a $50 billion company anymore. But we have a great focus and great capability and the leverage of quite a few resources globally.
How big are you guys globally?
Well, we've got less than 100 people in the U.S., but we've got 1,000 people that we can leverage for global delivery.
Awesome. But, so a couple offices all over the world. And
yeah, primarily, and again, primary focus is delivery in the U.S.,
yeah.
So Atlanta, Dallas, Chicago, San Francisco, D.C. area, but we've got some capability in the Philippines as well.
Awesome. It's cool stuff. So you guys, when somebody needs somebody talented with a lot of executive experience to come in and manage a program, they give you a call, and then you guys work on scoping out and engaging and moving forward from there?
Sometimes we get called in the middle of the program. Sometimes we get called at the very beginning, you know, the ideation and solution.
Come and fix it.
Yeah, exactly. We do a lot of that. We've got some approaches to come in and assess and look at things, and whether it's a project, an organization, you know, a business objective, you know, come in and take a look at it. But we love to get involved on the ground floor too. That's certainly an opportunity to define how things go from the get go, and the best opportunity for success.
And it costs more when we have to go in and fix it.
So people should take note of that. So it's call you guys early, call early, call often. I like that. So Keith, I've actually met you and Brad through the Metro Atlanta Chamber of Commerce, and you guys have been very involved in that. Can you talk a little bit about your activities within Atlanta and the Metro Atlanta Chamber and what you guys have been working on there?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been doing chamber stuff on and off for the last, I don't know, 15 years or so. And a couple of years ago, I got tapped to focus on one of their task force initiatives around mobility. And great opportunity. The Mobile Atlanta initiative is focused on creating and fostering Atlanta as the hub, the global hub for mobility. And we know we've got a great story. Some of it we just have to cobble together and tell people, and other things we have to do to develop it. So 2 years ago, this initiative got off the ground with a few of us that were working with a task force headed by Ralph De La Vega and Glenn Lurie from AT&T and Jonathan LeCompte from Verizon and a number of other luminaries, not just the carriers, but across the mobile ecosystem. And they asked a few of us to head up some work groups. And so one of them focused on promote, one of them focused on grow. You know, we want to create the opportunity to both grow and tell our story globally.
Yep.
One of the key gaps was around the skilled workforce. So that's the area that I jumped into.
This
group of the Task Force Initiative, or the Mobile Atlanta Initiative, as it's called now.
Awesome. And which areas do you guys focus on?
So we got together 2 years ago and we said, how are we going to grow the skilled workforce? How are we going to attract and retain mobility workers in Atlanta? How are we going to connect job seekers with job providers in mobility in Atlanta? And we put together a game plan, a roadmap, if you will, with 8 or 9 different initiatives that we've been focused on. And we have come together. There's been a lot of people involved, luminaries from mobility and other people that have just jumped in and helped us further that vision and initiatives over the last 2 years. And we've got some specific ones. Love to talk about them specifically.
Yes. Yeah, so what's the breakdown there?
Yeah. So one of the most important ones that we focus on is on internships. But we talk about scholarships. We talk about recognizing Atlanta's mobility stars, contests, competitions. We've put together a mobility index. The jobs, salaries, career paths, training initiative is combined, and we've been working with Blue Fletch on that, so that's been amazing. But made progress in all those areas to grow and attract the skilled workforce in mobility.
Can you touch on the first one? So the internships, what is I know I've heard a lot about this in the last year, and I think you guys are coming to a culmination of the first year and a half. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's one of the keys. Ralph De La Vega sat in one of our early task force meetings and said, when we've got to grow the skilled workforce around mobility, internships is core. So that kind of establishes your priorities right away when somebody like Ralph mentions that. And so what have we done? We have identified about a dozen companies, and we want to grow the number of internships that companies are providing to college students here in the Atlanta area. So it's Atlanta area college students focused on Atlanta area mobility internship jobs. And that's because there's a huge gap in the skilled workforce, right? So we want to grow it at that college level. We're talking about getting high school students involved as well. But we count them. We encourage them. We help companies set up the programs. We get them tied into the schools that are participating. Yep. And, Jonathan LeCompte and Christy Gilbranson from AT&T, Jonathan LeCompte from Verizon, they've been key in that. And we had a great initiative. Actually, Brad was core to something we did tied to Mobility Live.
What was that, Brad?
Sure. And so I know you all were a big part of Mobility Live as well, which was...
By you all, he's pointing at Stephen Weber.
But, a great opportunity to pull together a lot of leading thinkers here in Atlanta, and it was a great success. And one of the pieces of that success was an internship summit that was... designed to bring in local college students to have an opportunity to hear a fast pitch, if you will, from about 10 companies, including IHG and Verizon, AT&T, Home Depot, Weather Channel. You all were involved in that as well, Coca-Cola. And so they heard a quick fast pitch, and then the students had an opportunity to go around and talk to each of the companies that were representative. And what was cool about it is there were probably well over 100 people there, and they were there for the entire 2 hours of the session. Not only were they there for the entire 2 hours of the session, but at 5:30 there was still a line waiting to talk to some of the folks that were there. So
that's awesome. And those
really
were kids from
response.
Like local universities. Which schools? Was it all the schools were involved? And
really, you know, we saw a lot. We saw students from, you know, from UGA and other schools that were
Tech, UGA,
an hour away,
Mercer,
but also yeah. Tech and Georgia State University, local Kennesaw State.
Nice. And then, Stephen, I know you were participating in the internship summit. What was the results that Blue Fletch had from that?
So after losing my voice, after 3 hours of talking to people.
You talked to all 150 students?
Yeah, give or take. We actually found a marketing intern who was probably, she's smarter than I am. So I think that's the right step, hiring people smarter than myself.
I want to set a higher bar than that myself, but okay, all right.
Right. It was great. We got to talk to a lot of qualified people from developers and not just, I guess, the technical aspects of mobility, but also people involved in marketing, business analysis, which I think is also important to growing the space.
Right. There was one guy there from SCAD that really came in with more of a design background. So it was really great to see people from a variety of different areas come in and talk to us.
Cool. And for companies or students that want to get involved next year, what's the process? So Mobility Lab, I think, is being planned right now. They just reach out to the Metro Atlanta Chamber if they want to get involved in it?
They can certainly do that, but we're being proactive as well. We're pushing out the announcements and we're making sure that we're in touch with these schools and with the appropriate folks at each of these schools so that they know about it in advance.
Awesome, that's cool. And then so internships is the first one, and then you had scholarships on there too.
Some late breaking news there. Over the last year, we've raised over $100,000 in scholarship and grant money from companies participating. And again, Verizon, Coca-Cola, ZTE, Blue Fletch, IHG, Cox, Corn Ferry, WNA, the Weather Company, a lot of companies contributing to create opportunities for scholarships for grants for the universities to further their mobility work. And we just announced last week the four scholarship recipients.
So the winners are?
So the winners are. This is almost an announcement. The winners. Thank you. Let's see. We've got Hui Shi, a junior in biomedical engineering from Georgia Tech. We've got Elizabeth Lai, a junior in pharmacy and business from Mercer. We've got Ta Nguyen, a junior in IT systems development from Georgia Gwinnett College. And we've got Keshe Williams, a sophomore in computer science from Georgia State. So those are the four recipients of our scholarships for 2014. And, you know, once the fundraising quit for 2014, we just rolled right forward with 2015. So we're going to continue the momentum.
And that's awesome. And so what was the criteria for students? If a student wants to apply for this, what's the filter that they have to be participating in?
So we pushed an application process out to the students, and essentially we asked them a couple of key questions about their thoughts on mobility in the future or their activities in the mobility industry previously, and you'd be amazed. I mean, I think kids are getting involved in mobility in grade school now, so a lot of the quals and capabilities that they bring by the time they're in college, they've done a lot. So the students are doing a lot. And then, you know, we looked at the general stuff, you know, tell us your GPA and your transcript and what you're majoring in and answer a few other ancillary questions. But the core of the mobility was focused on what do you think about the future and what have you done so far?
Cool. That's awesome. Congratulations to those guys. I think you had Mobility Stars. I think this was announced at the at Mobility Live. Mobility Stars focused, I believe, on the leaders in mobility in Atlanta.
It did.
So you guys showcased a couple of those. And then I think the other thing you had you touched on, too, is Mobility Index. Can you talk about what is the Mobility Index?
Yeah, so on the index, what we did, we started working with Radwan Ali at Kennesaw State. And Radwan and his team said, we want to assess city by city the affinity for mobility. And you look at how many mobile workers there are, you look at the quality of the network, you look at the quality of the companies and the number of companies, the number of jobs, you look at a number of various criteria for rating cities on their affinity for mobility. And there was two goals, really. One, to identify where Atlanta is in that criteria, and two, to get better, keep getting better at it. Yep. So they focused on those criteria, and it's still a work in progress, as every one of these initiatives are.
Yeah.
But really the key is to get some great pub out of where Atlanta stacks up in some of those areas.
Were there any key learnings you can talk about right now, or is it still?
I'd rather not steal the thunder from the index, but okay. Atlanta clearly scores highly in just about every criteria you'd look at, whether it's the quality of the universities and the curriculum that we have in mobility, whether it's the number of students getting engaged in it, whether it's the number of jobs, whether it's the quality of our network, whether it's the number of our companies. Atlanta is up there in every one of those criteria.
Yep, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then the I think the one that Stephen Weber worked on, you're talking about the jobs, salaries, career paths, and training. So that's a long title. What's the key objective of that that sub area?
Really, it's to create a body of information that helps college students and experienced workers help define where they can go in mobility. All right, that's in order to grow the mobility workforce. Folks need to know, what are the jobs? What are the career paths? What does the financial element of it look like? Where's the training available? What's the curriculum that's available to me? And how do I further that? Because mobility is exploding, and it changes daily,
yep.
minute by minute. So it's really hard to assess down the road, with careers and opportunities, what should I be targeting? So you look at a college freshman who's trying to say, I want to get into mobility. They really need constant guidance and information that helps them direct and redirect as they need to. So creating a body of knowledge and some insights, and also identifying where are those gaps for companies. There's a huge gap in the skilled workforce.
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome. I know I'd done some work with you tasked us before. I think last year I helped out with MDI. So Blue Fletch and MDI did some work, Keith, for you on that initiative. And then I think Stephen and his team had taken a stab at a follow-up this year. And Stephen Weber is here from Blue Fletch. And Stephen, I don't know if you want to introduce yourself maybe talk a little bit about this initiative and what you guys were looking to achieve with it.
Yeah, so we spoke with Keith, and I think you teed that up pretty perfectly over there. One of the big problems with mobility is just it's such a changing the industry is just constantly changing. So being 18, you just don't know where that's going to lead you. So one of the big things we wanted to do is kind of see, hey, if I'm a student today, what are the things that I need to be doing to have a successful career? And what does that actually look like? So we talked to 30 different companies, from startups to some of the biggest companies in Atlanta. And then we got a wide range of answers from both the HR perspective, kind of the things that they're looking for when they hire, as well as whoever's in charge of that team, whether it's a mobility lead, mobility VP, or just the technical director of that organization. So it's been pretty cool to be able to talk to a lot of smart people.
Awesome. So you and your team sat down and had calls or coffee with 30 plus companies, and I guess for the collecting the data and having some sort of consistent approach or process, what did that look like? How did you structure it?
Yeah, so we came up with a list of between 20 and 30 questions that kind of focused on finding what those gaps are, finding what that career path actually looks like. And then we also just wanted to kind of find out some exciting stats and figure out what their needs are so that those students can fill them later on when they're graduating from school, and kind of what those schools can be doing to help that student be successful later on.
So what, just to start out diving into that, what are the, if you say, you know, if you were sit down a college student, what would you start at the top of the list on?
So the big thing about college students are, with mobility constantly changing, there's not particular classes at a lot of institutions. So you can't just go take, you know, iOS 101 tomorrow. So the big thing is not just doing your studies, doing it well, and getting that a very general basis for programming specifically, but also honing your skills outside of school. So attending conferences, attending hackathons, building apps on your own, putting them in the store, and kind of understanding how you can get ahead and some of the challenges of putting it up in, you know, the iStore or Google, you know, Google Play. So those are some pretty big ones. Some other things that we heard a lot actually were it's not just technical skills. So mobile, like a lot of industries, it's becoming, you have to have the full package. So you have to be able to talk with people, have people skills, be able to work on a team. Also, just general sense of problem solving is a big one. So a lot of companies will say, hey, you know, because technology changes so quickly, we could have the best iOS developer today, but in 2 years from now, they might have to learn something completely different. And we want to make sure that, you know, they have both the motivation and passion for mobility to do that.
Awesome. And is there a difference between the small companies and big companies that you guys found during the research?
Oh, yeah. So a lot of the bigger companies in Atlanta, they kind of have a more clear path, given that there's more roles, there's more jobs available. So you kind of start off in that junior development role, move to senior developer, you get to manage a team, or you can just continue being, you know, the guru in whatever that specific role would be. A lot of the smaller companies, on the other hand, they're kind of looking more at, they're trying to find either somebody for a specific role to fill, or somebody who can kind of train a team later on and bring some of the younger folks because it's cheaper labor. So one of the things that we found interesting was a lot of companies really desire that enterprise experience getting out of the gate. You know, when you work for a big company, you start to understand scaling, some of the things that you don't necessarily do when you're sitting in a college classroom. So one of the things that was pretty clear was, you know, get that experience out of the way as quickly as possible. And then some of the small companies will find that very desirable because they're looking for somebody to turn their company into a big one day.
So if you're advising somebody, I guess just kind of, you know, tailing on to the internship, you know, getting an internship at a large company is actually a very valuable sought after skills. Is that what I infer from that?
Oh yeah. So almost every company we talk to, startups as well, getting that internship experience is crucial. It just kind of teaches you how to work with people outside of the classroom. And because mobility is one of those skills, like we said, where you can get your technical basis, you can get a computer science degree, that's great. But being able to show what you're doing outside of school and with internships, hackathons, conferences, those are all resources that when I was in college, I didn't know about. So meetups and different groups in Atlanta, I think, are doing a much better job with stuff like the Iron Yard, across the street from us, General Assembly. A lot of these companies now are trying to hire, or not hire, to train those skilled workers, and there's a lot of resources out there for our students.
Yeah, and I think Big Nerd Ranch is actually one of the mobile stars. So Aaron Hildegrass was one of the winners this year.
Absolutely. Alive, so. We recognized five folks as Atlanta's mobility stars this year. Yeah, and that was a great program.
Yeah, it definitely stood out. That the training was definitely key there. Maybe we'll see the General Assembly guys next year.
Yeah.
Gotcha. In terms of the stars too, you know, I mean, one of the reasons that they were selected was their focus on the mobile workforce here in Atlanta and the internships. And so, you know, as we looked at who those stars ought to be, we were looking at, and we want to encourage all the listeners to really consider how they're using interns. But Keith, maybe you want to talk a little bit more about the stars.
Yeah, to finish, Brad, add on to Brad's point about the internships. I want to remind, it's not just the interns that are getting a great experience out of that. I mean, I think it's great. It's great workforce for companies that hire these guys because they're so smart. And like Steven said, you know, hire a few interns. Everybody, what did I read? Everybody needs a 13-year-old mentor, okay? We need some of these sharp, nice, smart kids to come in and show us the way it's done sometimes. And they do that with the internships. But back to the stars, we recognize some great folks because it, and tough selection criteria, tough process to narrow it down. But Tom Daly from Coca-Cola, Aaron Hillegass from Big Nerd Ranch, Jonathan LeCompte from Verizon Wireless, Glenn Lurie from AT&T Mobility, and Dr. Elizabeth Minat from Georgia Tech, all really making a big impact in Atlanta's mobility scene. These are some of the Atlanta mobility luminaries, if you will. And
say from internship and from workforce development, the four definite key individuals.
Absolutely.
For the city.
Contributions to scholarships, just leading the way in all these initiatives, and also thought leaders in mobility and the technologies as well, and in the business of mobility.
Cool. Yeah. Steve, another question just on the, you talked a bit about the college students. I guess for people who are already in the industry, what does that look like if you're looking to change in mobility? Did you guys do any research around that?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we found is a lot of these companies actually have a pretty strong continuing education program, especially some of the larger ones. So some of the general recommendations are, once you're already settled in with your job and you want to kind of stay on top of that technology and make sure you're not getting left behind, continue those outside projects, finding mentors. I mean, between the chamber and all the different resources out here, there's so many great leaders in Atlanta that I think are willing to take people under their wing, which is important. And then again, like the kind of peer learning. So going to conferences, a lot of companies will offer budgets for it. So you're kind of always staying on top of it.
Awesome. And the, I guess any other question just in general to the big companies versus small companies. If I wanted to start a startup, and I think you touched on this, what's the, what would be the recommended approach there? If I want to start a mobile startup, how does that look like?
So most of the startups are drawing their talent from local schools first. So I think that can start from internships, actually, just, you know, get someone in early, and being able to find someone from a resource like Georgia Tech, Kennesaw State's really, really been expanding like crazy within the space as well. That's a huge first part of that. And then the other thing is, those startups in Atlanta, especially, they tend to become small companies very quickly. So we've actually found there's a big difference between the company where there's three people sitting in a room and then 10 people. And then when that goes to 50 people and 100, what usually tends to happen is you're getting that initial talent out of school, and then they get 2-3 years of experience, and they're ready to kind of bring on that next wave of people who are smarter than themselves at a particular task. So I think the general recommendation is hire the smartest people you can as early as possible.
Awesome. I think we're seeing bigger companies like Coca-Cola that are taking an interest in these startups and small companies and developing them as well. So that would be another strategy for a startup as well, is to seek one of those angels from the multitude of great companies we have here in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I, from WNA standpoint, I'm assuming that based on your description, you guys are typically looking for people who have experience already. That's the type of skills that you bring. Or do you guys do a lot of new hires and interns?
You know, we hire, because the core of what we do is around program and project leadership, we do bring in a lot of experienced people. And we've had a lot of people that have been working with us for the last 10 plus years. But we're looking for talent all across the experience scale. The business analyst is your future business solutions architect, and that's a big component of our business too. We're not just bringing the program leadership or the project leadership, but any program integration office needs great business solutions architects and business analysts. And so getting some folks in who have a little lighter experience, but still understand the technology and the industry, and we give them a lot too. I mean, we're putting them through our onboarding and training, and giving some experiences to bring them along as well. So we want to create those future program and project leaders. We're generally bringing people in that have great leadership experience,
yep,
or have that great potential. Yeah.
Nice. And then I think that maybe Stephen Weber, you spoke of this, the technical versus the non-technical roles in mobility. Mm-hmm. Just following on Keith's point around BAs, what did you guys find in your research for the non-technical? Was there anything that defined people or set people apart?
Usually on the non-technical aspect, mobility is just a factor of what they do. So they're not, you know, you don't necessarily hire a only, unless you're in services, of course, but you don't necessarily hire just for a business analyst in mobility. They're typically, you know, more well-rounded. They have a general sense for it, and then they have to have that knowledge of the space and be able to, you know, consult if you're in services, or be able to take a software product and understand the space and how they can how they can get that upward mobility. And then I wanted to actually touch on one of your points, Keith. So one of the cool things for you guys being a larger company is being able to recruit nationwide. So when you asked about startups, not necessarily a disadvantage, but a lot of the startups, they tend to kind of stay locally because they don't have the resources and means to, you know, go recruit out in California or New York, which is what's great about Atlanta, because now that we're actually being able to keep people here, hire them, you're starting to see some of these startups, you know, recruit that top talent that are actually staying in Georgia. And then because of that, those people will end up starting companies later on once they get that experience. And hopefully we can just continue to let that wheel toss and turn.
Yeah. Products, services, apps, consulting. There's across the mobile supply chain and ecosystem and delivery system. You know, we love the carriers, but we want to see development across the entire ecosystem. And that's what's going on here in Atlanta. That's what's great. And it creates that community where folks can, they can get the experiences from, whether it's a large company or some of the existing startups and small companies, and then innovate themselves. And there's opportunities to do that.
Yeah. One of my favorite quotes was actually from one of our friends from, I always butcher the name, but Paravita. You want to
just go ahead.
Okay. We're not going to give you any help.
No one's going to help me on that one. He kind of looks at mobile, especially when it comes to jobs and how we think of it with those outside roles, as you know, you wouldn't say right now that you have a web strategy. It's something that you have to have. And he thinks sometime in the next 2 to 5 years, that's what mobile is. No one's going to go, what's your mobile strategy? It's just, here's another part of what you do, whether you're in marketing, a business analyst, a project manager. You're going to have to know the space, and it's just going to be a part of your business.
Right. Awesome. And so technology wise, I was changing gears here a little bit. You touched on the carriers and some of the work that's going on out there. Keith or Brad, are you guys seeing anything around any particular niches within mobility? So iOS versus Android versus any of the specific, you know, potentially Microsoft or BlackBerry in the marketplace. What's what piques your interest as you guys are looking at? I know as strategy, yeah, pretty high level, but
yeah, like, you know, we do a lot of strategy and business operations. The technology's there too. You know, people declared BlackBerry dead, and then now they're declaring it the largest mobile device, and all the things that we can do to enable business and consumers with the technology. So that, yeah, that's more our sweet spot in our space. You know, 4G LTE is crawling, and I'm sure that they're starting to think about the next generation of mobile technologies that's going to make it ubiquitous, and eventually these landlines are going to be moot.
Speaking of the connected car and BlackBerry, did you guys see that Ford is dropping Microsoft and switching to BlackBerry for all its in-car?
There you go. We never.
I'm sure that makes Keith very happy.
Are you still got the scroll wheel on the side?
You know, I carry a few mobile devices. Let's just say they're all represented in my portfolio, and you know, that's a good thing, because when I talk to the right folks, then I can talk to the right folks with their devices.
But that is part of the point, though, right? You know, the diversity of devices and platforms and applications is not going away anytime soon. So the key is, how do you manage it all?
Yeah. From a workforce standpoint, Stephen, you said, you know, there's not necessarily iOS classes in schools. What should students be doing if they're trying? So with this diversity of technology, what should students be trying to do or trying to learn?
Yeah. So again, those local resources would be great. The other thing that I think what we're generally finding as well is college students get into Android first. So one of the gaps that we heard was actually looking for iOS, because you have to pay to play basically. So there's a lot of free online resources, whether it's classes on Skillshare, whether it's talking to those mentors, finding out what existing companies are using, the technology they're using, and kind of going into it. I think the other big thing is kind of having that entrepreneurial spirit where you're ready to just take it on your own. So developers are really good at problem solving. So when they say, hey, I'm here to learn a new language, or I want to do this, that's generally one of the biggest ways that they can make that happen.
Nice. And the for Android, is Android in universities, that's the one that's more predominant, is what you're saying?
Right.
And so they see people coming out of universities and having like the good Android experience, but not a lot of good iOS experience. And so the companies you mentioned earlier, so you said General Assembly, Big Nerd Ranch, was there anything else here in town that's been doing a lot of training?
Yeah, the Iron Yard's another big one. We've actually worked with them. I'm trying to think of some other resources. There's, I want to say in Atlanta alone, there's at least four or five of those schools popping up. The other nice thing about it is I think it's kind of an underrated sector, but the hackathons too. I know our guys at our company have participated in, you know, 3 to 4 different hackathons over the years. They've met great contacts. They've learned how to deal with new languages that they just kind of get thrown into. So that's just a great way to hone those skills.
One of our big initiatives this past year was the mobility hackback, and that was just one of the best examples that I've seen. It was part of our vision to have contests and competitions as part of this thing too, and to sponsor them. So Amanda Henley at TAG stepped right up, and we had some great competition development to benefit three charities, Brad. They were
American Cancer Society, Points of Light, and Boys and Girls Club of America.
And so we, as part of Mobility Live, these teams had weeks to develop applications for these not-for-profits that are headquartered here in Atlanta or prominent here in Atlanta. And it was amazing what these contests. There was I think 20 some teams, and there was a $12,000 grand prize and $30,000 in prizes. So it wasn't better than the sharp stick in the eyes. You know, yeah. it was some good prize money, and yeah.
And just one of the notes I think that goes overlooked. You don't necessarily have to be a top-notch developer to participate in one of these, right?
You can
go and you learn, right? So it's a learning experience.
Well,
right?
You know, this one was it was a little bit different because it was created over a series of weeks, and you had some time to develop your solutions. There was problem areas or opportunities that were put out from each one of these not-for-profits. So you assembled your team, and the team needed developers, but it needed business people, it needed presenter, it needed presentation skills. You had to do, you know, it was a mini business for a few weeks that put these things together. And so great contest, great competition, fostering that mobility community here.
That is super cool. So 20 teams did that.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. Absolutely. So next year you're looking for 40 teams, right?
You know, the more the merrier. I think the prize money alone attracts the teams, and this was the first year getting it off the ground. And
it's always good to win money.
Yeah, you know. Nice.
Everybody likes money. So just Stephen and Keith, the findings for those reports and the research you guys are doing, where does that get posted at?
So we're still putting everything together, but we'll be releasing that hopefully in early January. So after the holidays, when everyone gets back and is ready to learn a bit, we'll be releasing that. So the hope would be is that we can actually get this in the hands of students who can benefit from this information. So things we talked about with just things you can be doing outside of your classes. We also go in pretty in depth into the interview process because hiring for a developer or technical role in a company is quite a bit different than, you know, just in my field being marketing. There's a lot of different things that you're doing and a lot of different things companies are looking for that would be helpful to know when you're 18, 19, those things that you can better prepare for. So we'll be releasing that. We're not sure on the exact formatting, but we hope to make it into a little bit longer form white paper as well as an infographic that can be easily digestible. And I guess look for that soon, and hopefully we can get some local media to pick that up as well.
So we've had a lot of different channels that we've utilized for the different results that we've had with skilled workforce work, and the chamber's been great because they have their website, so we push through the chamber.
So metroatlantachamber.com.
Absolutely, and that's a great place to go for some of this information. Whether it's Amy Lancaster, who's one of the business and higher education managers there, she works closely with our mobility initiative. Hillary Champagne as well from the chamber, and they have created a portal for the internships. So that exists, and that's tied to the chamber, and then the chamber puts some of this thought leadership and content out there. And then there's a special website for the Mobility Live event that's ongoing. So that's really key. And I did want to give a shout out to them and a few other people really that have been involved in this. Amy and Hillary have been really key in pushing this stuff forward. Jeff McGinnis from Corn Ferry has headed up the scholarship initiative, and Eric Martin from Catavolt, and I know Richie Brownfield from MDI has been working with y'all on some of the research initiatives. Those are some of the key folks, and of course Brad's been involved in driving some of this forward. While I'm giving shout-outs, by the way, Today's my wife's birthday. My wife, Chris, I got to wish her a happy birthday on the air because I'm here working and, you know, I should be paying attention to her. So I'm paying attention to her in thought right now.
Date night tonight?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Nice. Going someplace nice? Steak and shake?
At least. Maybe steak, maybe no shake. Absolutely. Nice. Absolutely.
Nice. All right. So 2015. So we mentioned MetroAtlantaChamber.com is a great resource to get in touch with the interns portal and also the mobility lab, I think, is linked through there. And a lot of this data is also out there. In 2015, any big initiatives folks should keep their eyes out for, Keith?
You know, we asked the task force, what should we do differently? What do we need to keep our eye on in 2015? And each one of these initiatives, internships, scholarships, the job salaries, career paths, training, the Mobility Stars, the contests and competition, the index, what they said was this is a great set of initiatives. It's fostering both the collegiate workforce and the experienced workforce. It's telling a great story to those people who might consider coming to Atlanta. We want to do every one of the things that we're doing bigger, better, faster, cheaper, stronger. We want right people, right skills, right time, right place, right cost here in Atlanta. And these initiatives are a great set of initiatives, so we're going to do them all bigger and better and continue to foster them. Those are the things people need to get involved with and contribute to.
Fantastic. Look forward to seeing that. So reach out to Keith. The address at WNA, if people want to find out more about WNA, where's that at?
Yeah, so we are at www.wna-ltd.com, okay, online. And, you know, that's the best way to take a look at where we are online. They can call me directly if they want to. You know, I'm at 770-378-8535, and I'd love to talk to those folks who are interested in our services. Fantastic. I'd love to talk to those folks who want to work with us as clients. So they can do that. Our office number is 770-552-0870. They'll get a hold of my admin, and she'll put them in the right in touch with the right folks. And Mary Hayden's great. She's also been behind a lot of these initiatives. You know, everybody at WNA gets tapped to touch this stuff. This is kind of Keith's fun projects.
Yeah.
So you know, I get a lot of help.
So. Fantastic. And then MetroAtlantaChamber.com is for all the 2015 Metro initiatives. And
yep.
Definitely check that out. And then Stephen Weber, you guys are the Blue Fletch site. You want to rattle that one off?
Just BlueFletch.com, and that's Fletch with an L, not fetch as in what a dog gets when you throw a ball. So that's not on our end. And we hope to be at a lot of events next year. We participated a lot with Mobility Live last year and hope to continue to do the same.
Awesome,
and I'm ready for your last questions, your fun ones. You
so the last couple questions, I think I already asked Keith this one, but I'll flip over to Brad. What's the mobile device in your pocket right now?
The mobile device in my pocket is an iPhone.
Your iPhone, and I see the iPad on the table. So you're
iPad on the table.
You're sticking to the Apple ecosystem. So you're not going up to the BlackBerry meeting with Keith after this, are you?
No. And I've got a Windows 8 computer in my bag, so you know.
There we go.
Nice.
Equal representation.
They're all represented in our portfolio. As a matter of fact, multiple phones, iPad. Multiple computers.
Steven, what's yours? What's in your pocket right now?
I got the iPhone 5, which is looking pretty small compared to your Plus over there.
You better get on it. That's you're going to be left behind pretty soon.
I think I'm going to have to get rid of my iPad and this phone, and then I'll just, you know, it will downsize into just a single device, considering
how
large
that is. Going back to a chalkboard?
Right.
You're going to get one of the IBM iPhones next year? Is that what that is?
We'll see.
Are you guys keeping up with the IBM Apple attraction? The fact they released, I believe it was several industry vertical apps in regards to the new alliance that they have. Definitely.
Frenemies, right? Or co-opetition? Yeah.
Yeah. Some of that. Yeah. I think the Apple recognized that they had a gap, in, specifically in the enterprise space. And, you know, who better to bring in to help fill it than IBM? So we'll be interested to see what that happens with that in the next few months. I think that's all I have for today. Thank you guys very much for being on. So Brad, Keith, and Stephen, thank you guys. And it was a great show. And I think the website's wna-ltd.com.
You got it.
BlueFletch.com and the MetroAtlantaChamber.com. Thank you guys very much.
Thanks for having us.